Let's turn our Bibles again tonight to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Very familiar passage of Scripture. I think many of us could quote it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And then back to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to guide us. Help us tonight as we look at these things concerning the rapture. We would be challenged to be faithful, purify ourselves, get busy doing what we need to be doing, to be ready for the soon return of Jesus Christ. Just thank you for all that you do in our lives. And for those who may be here and are not sure they're saved, help them to get settled tonight. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Seven signs that we may be close to the rapture. Seven signs that we may be close to the rapture. First one is the perilous times. The perilous times. The word also is translated fierce. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And look at what the Bible describes for us as the last times will be perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They'll be selfish. Certainly we see that in the day and time we live, around the world as well. Don't just U.S. these prophecies. That's what we American Christians so often do, is U.S. the prophecies. And everything spins around us. It's all about us. But it's not about us. It's about the world. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous is the love of money, lotteries, and all of that thing that we see. Boasters is the next one. That's empty pretenders. And I just read a story about a fellow who pretended to be an FBI agent. And he did it all and made himself out to be some big hero who was chasing down fugitives. Just because he wanted to win this girl over to get her to marry him. He was just a boaster and an empty pretender. We have many of the Vietnam veterans who have served their country well in Vietnam, and they have to put up with the Vietnam pretenders. We have many who are pretending that they had been in Vietnam, because now, used to be when we were in Vietnam and we came back, nobody noticed, and we were kind of shunned when we came back, but now it's become a popular thing. If you're a Vietnam veteran, you get a little bit of clout. So there are soldiers who are claiming that they were in Vietnam. I remember I talked to one guy at the fair, and he told me he had been in Vietnam, and I asked him where, and when he told me where, I knew he had never been there, because you don't pronounce it that way if you've been there. And there are a lot of pretenders, boasters, proud. That's the word proud there. We think about how people are so set in their ways and that they are right and everybody else is wrong. It seems like that's coming more and more to the surface with the liberals that are around us, the blasphemers, one who speaks of God in impious or irreverent terms. And, you know, the average tattoo today that you see, and all these people tattooed up, when you examine those tattoos, they're blasphemous. A lot of the tattoos, have you ever noticed that? Just take a closer look. They're blasphemous, blasphemers. TV, much of what's on the TV today and is put out there as normal and is put out there as what we, around the world, it's even worse in other countries, is just plain raw blasphemy. And then disobedient to parents. Why have we seen that rise in this country? And the Ritalin has become a common drug, when that's what it is, a drug, just drugging the kids, when God's Word teaches that a good paddling, a good switching will do the job and won't be the need for Ritalin. That doesn't make you popular to say that, but it's Bible, and it does work to use Bible discipline. Children are naturally ornery. They're naturally full of life. They're naturally jumping up and down and here and there and everywhere. And the way to settle them down is just to do the Bible way. Use discipline, the switch, and use it in the right place in the right way. And it works. It doesn't fail. But we would rather submit them to the drugs and start them on drugs early. I better, it's quiet in here, so. Amen, preacher. It's time somebody said it. I mean, starting them out drug users when they're little. Unthankful is the next one that's mentioned here. Unthankful. The history of our nation and our government is being rarely taught in the right way nowadays. Young people are growing up to be very unthankful for our nation, our government. Rebellion instead of appreciation. Unholy is another one. Around the world, in the leading nations of the world, we see just an example of unholiness and what's going on. Without natural affection, why have we seen that lately, when the same-sex marriage and just don't have natural affection? Men chasing after men and women chasing after women and men and women chasing after animals. Truth breakers, that's one who violates a truth, a covenant or engagement. In other words, just don't keep their word. Just don't keep their word. It's also translated implacable, which in other places in the New Testament, and that means not to be appeased or subdued or rendered peaceable. Truth breakers, they doesn't matter. They're not going to, they can tell you what they want to tell you, but they're not going to do it. False accusers, that's translated mostly devil. That's what devil means, a false accuser. And that's what it's translated mostly. It means to slander. Why have we seen a lot of that? If you try to stand up for what's right, they'll try to slander you any way they can, find something that they can put you down. Incontinent. Incontinent is without self-control. Fierce, that's a drug problem. Shootings, crimes, that we see all these fierce things. despisers of those that are good. Why we see that, good are looked at as evil today. If you stand up for the right things, you're taunted as evil. Those who try to be chaste and pure, and our young people, are looked at as weird and off base. Traitors, that's betrayers, liars. Heady is those who are rash. They don't think things through. They just go right on into it. High-minded, it's closed mind to the truth. They think they know what they know, and they don't need anyone else to tell them what to know or to do. Lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Why do we see that? Caught up in various things that people around the world are caught up in. And it's like today in Columbus, the big run that they had for, I think it was for Children's Hospital. Could be on another day. Why not on a Saturday instead of a Sunday? Don't have time for God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We were just looking through the Christian channels the other day, and this one preacher was up there, was preaching, and the camera was scanning over this great, huge amount of people. And we thought, you know, if there's that many people, why isn't there revival in our country? Why isn't there revival? It's because a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And Christendom today has all of the hype, but no revival. Large crowds, but no revival, because they deny the power thereof. From such, the Bible says, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. It's interesting how many of these preachers that women and men who have, and we don't agree with women preachers, not biblical, but women and men who have sideline things going on, affairs, involved in things that Christians ought not to be involved in. They are, just like it says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, giving in to lusts. So many preachers have had to leave the ministry because of pornography and heavy involvement in pornography. The lust. Ever learning, verse 7, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that is, they never just come to the truth. It's all around them. It's right there. It's in the Word of God. But they won't see it. They want to go their own way. They resist the truth, verse 8 says. But when you look at this description of the perilous times, it looks like that's our world today. That's one reason to believe it, for us to believe that we are in the last days. These things have always been around throughout societies from the very time after Adam and Eve fell into sin. But we're seeing a time when we have all of them very strongly around us and becoming predominant with mankind. The perilous time. Secondly, the Bible teaches that in the last days there will be seducing spirits. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. 1 Timothy 4, first 5 verses. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. When the Spirit speaketh expressly, it's something to sit up and take notice about. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be receive with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. The time of seducing spirits. as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There are different views about what just took place there in the days of Noah, but we notice that it was a time of seducing spirits, and this is a time of seducing spirits when there are all kinds of error doctrines floating around out there, and if there's ever a time to stay true to the Word of God and to be careful that we don't compromise in any area, now is the time, seducing spirits. Then number three, the nation of Israel. If you go to Luke chapter 21, the third sign that very possibly we could be close, very close to the rapture, is the nation of Israel. Luke chapter 21 and verse 20, Jesus was teaching here. He said, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh." Now we could stop right there and say, well, yeah, it did take place in 70 A.D. His prophecy was just fulfilled right then, and that's what some say. But you have to read on what he said. "Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries therein enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people." You notice by what he says that he's moving it out. Yes, it had a fulfillment, as Bible prophecy so often does. It will have a partial fulfillment, and then it will have a complete fulfillment. And if you read Matthew chapter 24's account, you see that it's very clearly that what Jesus was saying here was tribulational. It wasn't that he was referring only to the destruction in 70 A.D., but the very passages themselves reveal that he was speaking of the time when they would be completely destroyed, when the end time, and they'd be looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 36 and look there at some verses in the book of Ezekiel chapter 36. The book of Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 1. We'll start right there in verse 1 and look through some of these verses and just bring something out here about Israel. He says in verse 1, "Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel, and say, Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy has said against you, Aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession." Boy, they're saying that today. They're still claiming that the land is actually theirs. "Therefore prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession under the residue of the heathen, and ye are taken up in the lips of talkers and are an infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills and to the rivers and to the valleys, to the desolate wastes and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about." There's the city of Ariel in Israel today. That when the Jews came in there, the land was desolate. There was nothing. There was no water. It was a desolate place. They bought it. I'm going to say that again. They bought it from the people there at an exorbitant prices for what the land was. But today, if you were to go to Ariel, it is a beautiful city. I mean, you wouldn't ever believe that this was a desolate land. It's beautiful houses, beautiful greenery and trees, and it's just a beautiful city. I've seen pictures of it, and it's a beautiful place. And just what the Lord said, we'll say here as we see and we read on down. He says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Idumea, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy, therefore, concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand, surely the heathen are about you, they shall bear their shame. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches, and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be builded. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So we notice here that he says he will bring them back, and he will make the desolate land prosper. But notice what he says in verse 21. But I had pity for you? No. For mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. So when he brings them back, they're profaned, just as Israel is today in the land. Many of them are atheists. Many of them do not believe in God. They don't believe the Bible. They are very, well, the city of Tel Aviv is considered the homosexual capital of the world. And they're very wicked. That's what God said they would be. That's what His Word tells us. But he says, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land, which he has done. And if you continue to read on in the book of Ezekiel, you'll find that he says that he will bring them back. The desolate land, verse 34 down there, shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and inhabited. This God said he would bring them back, put them in the land, and then the events are going to happen of the tribulation period. And by the middle of the tribulation period, the children of Israel, who have profaned themselves, are going to see that the Antichrist is not the one that they should be worshiping. And they, when he sets up the image, when the image of the beast is set up in the temple, and the false prophet tries to get everyone to worship the beast in his image and receive the mark, they're going to realize that they've been deceived. They're going to flee to the wilderness. When the Lord comes back to establish His kingdom, they will all turn to Christ at that time, the remnant. There will be some of the Jews that will take the mark and will perish. But the whole of Israel will be saved, as the book of Romans teaches us, at the end of the tribulation period. They will turn to Christ. They will see their Messiah. They will realize that they have been wrong, and Israel will turn to Christ as a whole. But right now, biblically, they are very profane. And the Bible tells us that the if you go back there to Luke chapter 21, Jesus said very clearly in this passage, we consider the nation of Israel today and what's going on there. Today it's following right down the line of what's prophesied in the Bible. And here in Luke chapter 21, he said to us very clearly, in Luke 21, verse 20, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies." Well, we all know the news, or I imagine that you know the news, that China is joining Russia in Syria. And Syria, if you look on the map, is right there beside Israel. And they are bringing in, according to news reports, this is a news article. It said it this way: China joining Russia in Syria brings risk of world war. Risk of world war. And the Investor's Business Daily said this: "Our commander-in-chief even admits that he has no strategy against the monstrous caliphate that his very own policies of weakness brought into being." And, of course, China and Russia are using that weakness to move into that area and to do things that depress or put down the United States of America and lead us to push us further away from being a leader in the world for peace. Here's that article goes on to say, "What is apparently happening now was inconceivable before Obama sent America spiraling into decline. Our two Cold War adversaries uniting militarily in an effort that will ultimately give them dominance at our expense in the most strategically important part of the world, the oil-rich and political fragile Middle East." Fox News just reported that there's a massive oil reserve that's been located in the Golan Heights. That's over there Israel took the Six-Day War, which they've been battling and trying to get them to give that back. It's right there beside Syria. In fact, where they found the oil is right by close to the Syrian border. And the article goes on to say that this is a game changer. Israeli officials believe that the Golan Heights discovery could supply the Jewish state's oil needs for centuries. Well, with that in mind, we look at prophecy back to Ezekiel, and we notice that in Ezekiel 38, there is these armies that are coming against Israel, and those armies, if we were to take the time to look at all of them, which we don't really have time to do tonight, but they're going to move against Israel sometime, probably. We don't know for sure. Some teach that it'll be before the tribulation period starts. Some teach that it's possibly in the middle. But this war is predicted to take place, and these nations will come against Israel. And they are mentioned there in verse 2, "The son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws and will bring thee forth all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia is now Iran, Ethiopia and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm, and thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. Here's what we want to see. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of all unwalled villages. Now the word that's used for chief prince is Rosh, and that word is translated Russia. And all of these nations, if you take the time to really, Meshach and Tubal and these different places, if you look at all of them and where they're at, they're all Muslim countries. And we don't have time to get into all of that. But the thing is here, it says, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gate, to take a spoil. Some Bible teachers have said if you just kind of not notice the SP there, you'll kind of see what the spoil is. And to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan, and that seems to be the merchants of Tarshish, seem to be those countries that came out of the United Kingdom, which could well be a reference to our country as well. With all the young lions there shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, and take a great spoil? But that's all. They just say, they don't do anything. They don't withhold it. And so what we see in this coming war with Israel, where God will cause them to fall upon the mountains of Israel, and God will fight for them, we see that being a real possibility right today with the huge oil find there in the West Bank. And so that's something that leads us to think we are close to the coming of the Lord. We're seeing the makings of these things that are described in the Scripture, the perilous times, the seducing spirits, the nation of Israel, and the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39. We could go into a lot of detail with that. But then number five, we have the world scene. The world scene today. If you look back to Revelation chapter 13, I know you're familiar with this passage with the Antichrist, but if you stop and think about it, a few years ago, not too many years ago, people would read this and just kind of think, how could that ever be? But it says in verse 16, and he causeth all, this is talking about the whole world, if you read the chapter, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for the number of a man, his number is 666. And how could everyone be required to mark? You read the book of Revelation, and you see that the two witnesses that are there witnessing for the Lord, and they are given special miracles, and they're killed, and their bodies lay in the street, and the whole world sees their bodies. Well, we would think many few years ago, not too many years ago, how could that be? But no one doubts that now. No one doubts that we could have a marking system across the whole world, that we have the technology to do these things. The world scene today, ISIS is bent upon destroying Jews and Christians. And if you look in Revelation chapter 17, the last days are described here. And as we seem to get closer to the end time, things begin to open up and make more sense to us that are happening in the world. We have Mystery Babylon in the first part of this chapter, and the way Mystery Babylon is described, it appears that it must be the Rome and the Antichrist will, or the Rome, the Pope and the Catholic Church will head up the one world church. They believe that they're the mother church anyhow, and they believe they'll head up the one world church. I've even read some of their writings that say that. And the mother church, and that they will be the head of this one world church, and the Antichrist will use them. If you look at the description of this, it says in verse 7, "The angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her." So the beast we know is the Antichrist. He'll tell us that here in a minute. But the one world church is used by the Antichrist to gain world power, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. Verse 8, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is." And if you compare that with other scriptures, we're talking about the Antichrist. "Here is the mind that which hath wisdom." Verse 9, "The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." There's various ideas about this. Some think that it's into Turkey. Others think that it's the seven hills there of the Vatican. But I personally believe that the one world church will be headed up by Rome. "And there are seven kings. Five are fallen. One is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast." So we have the five that are fallen, five world empires, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. They're described for us in the book of Daniel, and that's history bears it out. Is this what happened? And then there's the one that is at John's time when he wrote this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which is Rome. Then the seventh one is the ten kings that will arise, some type of a revival of a kingdom, maybe out of the European countries, maybe out of the Western European countries, which are more Muslim, that were a part of the old Roman Empire, will come to power. And verse 13 says, "These have one mind," they're all agreed, "and shall give their power and strength unto the beast," the Antichrist. "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire." So they destroy the one world church, these ten kings. Then they give their power to the beast. "For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled." And we know in Revelation chapter 20, that those that are killed in the tribulation period are beheaded. It appears very clearly when you begin to look and compare scriptures with scriptures, look at the nations that come in Ezekiel 38, that this thing that we're seeing with ISIS is moving us into the last times, the beheadings. And the Antichrist will very possibly be Muslim. All you have to do is read the writings of the Islam. And in their writings, they have very clearly written how that their man of peace, their 12th Imam, will come, and he will be on a white horse, and how that the Jesus will come back, and Jesus will have everybody worship their 12th Imam. And those who fail to worship will be destroyed. And that's in their writings. Everything, it appears that when you study the scripture, you study what's going on in the world today, that the religion of the Antichrist is Islam. And they are bent upon destroying Jews and Christians. So there's the world scene that leads us to believe that we are very close to the rapture. Number six, there's the unusual weather that's recorded in Luke 21, verses 25 to 26. And why are we seeing the unusual weather with all the floodings around the world, the big cry about global warming, and actually we're not warming, we're getting colder. And we just had highs just here this month and around here in this area that we had lows that are, I don't know just how to say that, but we had lows. Our low temperatures were actually, our high temperatures were actually the low temperatures, that's how I should say it, of the records. I mean, we are colder than what we should be. We are cold, and yet they're claiming about global warming. And we've had some very cold winters, not only here, but around the world. And it's interesting, about every time Washington gets really in some kind of a conference about global warming, they get hit with a huge snowstorm. It's kind of like God says, why don't you guys wake up? Winter and summer, and cold winter and summer, and the seasons, according to Genesis, will never fail, because God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the upholder of all things. But the Bible predicts unusual weather for the last times, and we're seeing that. And then number seven, we have the sense of the sensible. Boy, do we ever have people who just don't have any common sense anymore. We have the sense of the sensible. If you go back to Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24, and verse 32, Jesus said, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. He said we couldn't know. He goes on to tell us that we don't know the day and the hour down in verse 36. But he said we can know when it's near, even at the doors. Jesus said we could know when it's near, even at the doors. Then the sense of the sensible, those who are faithful followers of Jesus Christ, have a sense that it's near. And that's what we see. You just go across the board to the fundamental Bible-believing preachers of our day, and the sense of the sensible is we are very close to the coming of the Lord. Those who, Christians, who are into the Word of God and are walking with the Lord, have the sense that we are in the last of the last days. We are close to the coming of the Lord. And the Bible teaches us that in verse 7 there, of Matthew 24, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences. Pestilences has the meaning of disease running free. It also has the meaning of immune deficiencies. And we have so many immune deficiency things coming up now in our day. And earthquakes. Earthquakes have been all over the place. In the last years, just a great increase of earthquakes in divers or different places, and all these are the beginnings of sorrows. And these things that are described for the last days, and Matthew 24 is tribulational, and we see those things that are described, and all those things are beginning to take shape in our nation. In Luke chapter 21, he said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. When you see these things begin to come to pass. We are the people that's seeing these things to begin to come to pass. And the sense of the sensible is that Jesus is coming soon. We know that any day now could be the day of the rapture. And we would be able to meet our Lord in the air. We'll see our loved ones and meet the Lord in the air. What a glorious time that's going to be, what he has planned for us as we go through the 7 years in heaven and through the judgment seat of Christ and then the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then we come back with the Lord as he establishes his kingdom. We rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. and then he destroys this earth, remakes it, new heaven, new earth. We live with our Lord throughout the endless ages of eternity. The best is yet to come. We're heading for a land where there isn't any more sickness. Our church is getting older. I don't think I have to tell you that. I think you know that. Our church is getting older. A lot of our people, a lot of our good, solid members are getting old. And if the Lord doesn't come soon, we're going to have some great changes in our church. But it appears to me that the Lord is coming soon, and we're going to a land where we never grow old. We're going to a land where there's no sickness, there's no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no suffering, there's no problems to put up with. We are going to a land where we will reign with Him throughout the endless ages of eternity. When you read that in Revelation chapter 22, it's just telling us that we're going to live like kings. That's what He has planned for us. We're going to live like kings through the new heaven and the new earth. What He has planned for us, not because of us, but because of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. So there are seven signs. There are many other things that we could look at. But the perilous times, the seducing spirits, the nation of Israel, the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39, the world seen today, the unusual weather patterns, and the sense of the sensible. We can just sense when we study the Bible, when we look at what it says, when we look at our world today and where it's moving and what's happening, that Jesus is coming soon. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight for Your Word to guide us, and that we live in these last days, and they're not days for us to hang up our swords, so to speak, and sit down and wait. But these are days to charge forward. These are days to march on. These are days to get busy. These are days to be witnessing. These are days to be doing. These are days to get excited about serving the Lord, because our time here is short. Not to get wrapped up in the things of this world and get wrapped up in things that pull us away from what we ought to be doing, but to get wrapped up and excited about serving the Lord and telling others and bringing people to Christ. And when Jesus comes, we'll be on the firing lines out front in the battle for Jesus Christ. You loved us so much. Help us to do that, Father. Help us to be faithful in serving You in these last days that we live. We thank You for it, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing an invitation song. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure that you know Christ as your Savior.